You know, God calls us to know that this is a day that he has made. And we are called as Christians to rejoice and be glad in that. And I want you to listen as I read the scripture this morning, which comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter, 46 and 47. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious God, we invite you now to teach us your word so that every day there'll be new people added to your kingdom. People come to know that salvation is through Jesus Christ. May that happen here today and happen every day this week. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, some of you know what this is, right? This is a tomato plant, right? And it's amazing to find a tomato plant this late in the season. And so this guy is probably not going to do much in his life, unless you put him in a greenhouse, I suppose. But anybody here have trouble growing tomatoes? Can you be honest? Raise your hand high. You know, I have a real hard time growing tomatoes. One thing I do know about tomato plants is that you got to get them out of this box they're in. I've read online or whatever, that you got to break the roots open and kind of help get them started and plant them in the ground. You can't plant them too deep and all that stuff. But I've always struggled growing tomatoes. And so this year I enlisted the help of a couple tomato coaches. I really did. And one of my main tomato coaches was Chris Rawl. Chris Rawl at Rawl Farms, and usually he sits second row over here, so I'm not sure where Chris is at this morning, but you tell him that I missed him, and I used him in my sermon and all that good stuff. But I called Chris. I said, Chris, you know, you grow tomatoes like crazy. What's the secret to growing a tomato? And he told me, he says, you know, you got to get the soil right before you put the plant in the ground. If you put the plant in the ground and the soil's not right, it doesn't matter. Because I would grow these plants, right? Plants would get big, not big, but kind of big. And then I'd get tomatoes on them, and they'd look good. And then they get this blossom in rot, right? And they would kind of just look bad, you know, and they just wilt and die. And, you know, I just, you know. So I said, Chris, what do I got to do? He says, well, you need, give me your space of your tomato garden, and it's only room for six plants, right? So it's not real big. So six plants. And he said, let me tell you what you need to do. And he says, you need to do these three things, or these three components. You need to have calcium and gypsum and this fertilizer. And he gave me all three in a bucket, right? He said, now you take this much calcium, this much gypsum, and this much fertilizer, and it'll work. And so I did. I did all that. And then I had another tomato coach, because I needed two of them. And he brought by some fish meal and some other stuff and put them on my tomato plants. And then, you know, something like this, right? Not really, but that's actually one of Chris's fields. We took that picture yesterday. It's amazing. That's hundreds and hundreds of tomato plants that are producing thousands and thousands of tomatoes that are going to go all over the United States. That's just an amazing thing, and it's using simply calcium and gypsum and a special fertilizer that he didn't tell me what it was, right? So with that said, what an amazing thing. But I've learned that tomato plants have got to have the right conditions and the right soil, etc. And I had a great crop of tomatoes this year. It was the best crop of tomatoes I've ever had growing tomatoes. I was blessed because God blessed me with tomatoes. So the thing I want to talk to you about a little bit this morning is in the book of Acts that Martha read for you. It describes Jesus' formula, his recipe, his plan for cultivating a growing church. Now, again, we're growing here at Mount Horeb, and we're seeing God do some great things. How do you cultivate a growing church? Now, you've got the followers of Jesus who have walked with him, and they watched him teach and heard him lead and prepare them for what was coming next. They experienced his crucifixion, his death. And then they experienced on the third day his resurrection. And then they got to hear him teach to them for like 40 days. And then just before he ascended, he gave them instructions, gave them a plan. It says, if you will go into Jerusalem and gather together in this room, this upper room, there's about 120 of you. You go there and gather, and then you pray and you wait. And then the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive power, and you're going to discover the plan of how to cultivate a growing church. If you read the book of Acts, that's exactly what happens. They go and they wait and they pray, and God's Spirit comes upon them. And then they go out into the streets and begin to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the church begins to grow. And it says, I love this word, about 3,000 people believed. Now, do you hear that word? Say about. About. I get a lot of grief around here for numbers. Okay, you know, and they call it preacher math or whatever. But I'm excited to know that that's how the Bible deals with it, about 3,000. Now, I don't know what we got in here today, but I'm guessing it's about 800 people in the room here. Now, our counters will probably say, no, you're about 200 off or whatever, but I'm going to go with about, okay? And so it was good enough for the Bible. It's good enough for me, right? So about 3,000. So if you take the 120 that was already believing, you have about 3,120 people that believe in Jesus. And it says that these 3,000, about 3,120 people, begin to worship in the temple courts. That's what you're doing here today. We've had great worship here throughout the morning. Last night, we had great worship. 8 o'clock, we started this morning. We had traditional worship. Then at 9 o'clock, we had great contemporary worship. And now we're having great traditional worship. Let's give the choir a hand up here. Great job, choir. Thank you. But if we stop right there and we go home and we get ready to come back next week, we will have missed the plan. And just like my tomato plants never grew because I never had the right conditions, this church will never grow like God wants it to grow with solid growth, that is fruitful growth, unless we do the second part of what Paul writes about in the book of Acts, or Luke writes about in the book of Acts. That they met in the temple courts, and then they went from home to home, from place to place, and ate together meals, and fellowshiped together, and received the instructions and teaching about Jesus. And when they got together, their number one reason for getting together was a deep devotion of Jesus Christ. They loved Jesus Christ more than anything. And that was their reason for getting together. It wasn't to get together to try out recipes. It wasn't to get together and talk about what's going on. Just, you know, but and you can do all that stuff. We have, our small group has great meals. We love to cook meals and get together. But our main purpose must be a deep devotion to Jesus. Now, you look in here in the book of Acts, in second chapter, they got together to worship. And we do that here in the temple courts. They lifted up God, the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit brought great power and refreshment. And they worshiped. We do that well here. We do traditional worship really well. We do contemporary worship really well. But, you know, the main reason we do worship here is so people can experience the presence of God. Experience the presence of God through music, through prayer, through scripture reading, and through preaching. All right? Secondly, they got together in devotion to Jesus to pray together. They prayed together. They prayed for each other. You know, if you're new to Mount Horeb, you may not know this, but we want to be a prayer-driven church, a church that saturates and covers everything in prayer. What you see out there, if you're here visiting this new construction, has been saturated in prayer. This property has been prayer-walked literally hundreds of times. These rooms have been prayer-walked. Men gather on Friday morning to pray at 6:45 for this weekend. People came to the altar and prayed. At the end of this service, people will meet out in a garden out here. If you want someone to pray with you at the end of this service, in a little prayer garden right outside this door, there'll be people out there who will pray with you if you've got a burden today. So we want to be a church that prays with people. We also want to be in the Word. There was biblical teaching. They were teaching the Scriptures, and it was not just teaching Scripture, but it was practical application. I hope that every sermon that we preach here Every Sunday school class, every small group, there is practical application that I can take what I am learning and go apply it to my life every day. And then it says they joined together regularly and took the Lord's Supper. That they celebrated the greatest event that's ever happened in the world. That Jesus Christ came to the world because God loves the world and died on a cross. His body was broken, his blood was shed, so that sins, our sins, are forgiven and we can be made right with God. And they celebrated that every week. And I wish we could celebrate communion here every week. I love it. We do it at the first Sunday of each month at 8 o'clock and on Saturday nights. And then we, about seven times a year, we do it in here together. It's powerful when we celebrate Holy Communion. That's what the early church was doing, and that cultivated a growing church. They said, we will grow together. I want you to know, you cannot grow solo very well with God. If we want to cultivate a healthy church, we must be fully committed to growing together. Growing together. Tom Rainer, in this book we've asked you to read, and we've had, you know, about 500 of these books, I think, distributed. We'd love to distribute about 500 more for all of you to read. But a book called I Will. It's a great book by Tom Rainer, The 9 Traits of the Outwardly Focused Christian. And today I'm covering one of the chapters, which is I Will Grow Together. This is what he says in his book. He says, church members involved in a group, now by group I mean a Sunday school class, a Bible study, or a small group, are 5 times more likely to be active in a church 5 years later than compared to worship-only attenders. Now, that's an important research finding that we need to understand. That the church that grows healthy has people involved past worship. I love worship. Worship is wonderful. I get inspired when I come to worship. But if I want to grow, I got to go beyond that. And that's exactly what the early church did. So if that's the way we cultivate a growing church, what's the best way of cultivating a declining church? Only show up on the weekends, hear a message, and go back home. And then come back next week or the week after next or the week after next and get another message. That'll cultivate a declining church. Put this quote up from this book. Only 16% of church members who attended worship services only remained in the same church 5 years later. It's an amazing statistic. And so what do we say to all these new members that joined? Is we need you to get involved past worship. You need to get involved in a group, in a Sunday school class, in a Bible study, so that you can find the nurture that you need. You know, we know that people leave churches for different reasons. Sometimes it's because we as a church dropped the ball and we didn't follow up like we should have or something like that. That happens. We apologize to anyone that that's happened to. But we try really hard not for that to happen. But we know it does. Some people move. Some people, for different reasons, leave. But the number one reason that people leave churches is because they never get involved past worship. They just come and sit in a pew on Sunday and don't get involved. So we're going to challenge you to say, I will grow together. Now, as we grow together, growing together matters, right? Growing together matters. I want to tell you why in just a minute. But we've been blessed to have Nick Cunningham come on our staff. Nick started out here 8 or 9 years ago as an intern in youth ministry, and then he went off to serve in one of the largest Methodist churches in our denomination, first as a youth pastor, then as a teaching pastor. And now he's come back to our church as a person over discipleship, doing an amazing job. And he's helping us relaunch the whole group ministry in our church, discipleship path in our church. So I'd like you to hear from Nick, and as we talk about why growing matters.
So I started leading this Bible study at the gym where I worked out at in Ohio, and there's a group of guys I didn't really know outside of the gym. Most of them were white-collar professional types. None of them actually worshiped at the church where I served. But I had worked out with them for several months, and we'd gotten to know each other, and they knew I was a pastor, and so one of them just asked if I would, you know, start leading a Bible study for them. And so we started meeting one morning, and it wasn't long into the Bible study. I remember one of the guys, who I'd probably known the longest, he sort of threw this out there for everybody else, and he said something like, You know, I've been going to church most of my life, every weekend. And when I look back on it, it doesn't seem like things have really changed all that much. I thought that was really interesting. You know, after he said that, some of the other guys in the group, they confessed sort of a similar thing. And it just got me wondering, you know, I wonder how many of us, we've been coming to church week after week, year after year. But when we look back, not a lot has changed. You know, we probably have had sort of these big moments, right, where we've really felt God move in a worship service, and maybe we've even come down to the altar and we said a prayer. But not long after that moment, things just sort of go back to how they always were. I remember asking the guys that morning, you know, like, how much room have you created in your life for this sort of thing, to come together with other men, to get real, to get honest, to allow them to sort of see what's going on in your life, to be encouraged by them, to be challenged by them. And one by one, they all said they really hadn't made much space in their life, that this was sort of new for them. You see, I believe that we experience the full life of God in a very unique way. And we not only come together to worship once a week, but when we really commit to doing life together. I love, you know, in the book of Acts, one of the first things that happens when the Holy Spirit erupts onto the scene at Pentecost and the church is born is that this diverse group of people from all over the world, that they form, they connected in this type of community that I believe all of us long for, but so few of us actually ever experience. And there's this little description of how the church lived together at the end of this really great passage in chapter 2 where the author says to us that they ate together in one another's homes with glad and sincere hearts. And this word for sincere, it means without pretense. Nobody's faking, right? People have dropped their masks. They're getting real. I believe that when we do that, when we come together in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we allow one another to see what's going on in our lives and to speak into us, to remind us of who we are, to push us more and more towards who God has called us to be, man, we experience sort of the full life of God in a unique way. It's one thing to want this type of community, to long for it. It's a whole other thing to actually experience it, which is why we're doing these small group launches right now. It's to really go over the core practices, the absolute essentials that allow us to move past just these skin-deep relationships into deep, Christ-centered, authentic community. You know, because I believe that if, you know, all we do is just come together once a week, which is great, which is important, but if that's all that we do, we leave so much on the table. I believe that we experience the fullness of what God has made available to us in Jesus Christ. We experience the fullness of that as we come together.
It is my prayer that you and I will experience the fullness of what God wants to give us by coming together. Do you want things to really start to change in your life? Are you willing to grow together? One of the things that Nick said to us last Wednesday in our small group launch, and again, I really appreciate what Nick's doing. This morning he was up doing a new group launch up in the youth room. I went up, the place was packed with people, sitting around tables, hearing how to relaunch their group ministry, Sunday school classes, etc. But he says that these groups existed in the early church. They existed to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to usher in the rule and reign of God. To bear witness to the resurrection. That's my goal for every Sunday school class, every Bible study, every small group in this church, to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we talk about Jesus and what Jesus Christ's resurrection does for us. And that we would usher in the rule and the reign of God. What does that mean? It means that we invite God into our entire life. Not just on the weekend, but on Thursdays and Saturdays and Mondays. And into the messes of our life. Into the challenges of our life. Into being a parent. Into being a grandparent. Into being a boss, a worker. That He is in everything in my life. That He rules and reigns in my life. Now, right now, we have about 400 adults involved in some type of group here at Mount Horeb. Bible studies, Sunday school, small group. On weekends, we average right now between 1,500 and 1,600 people in worship. Now, I believe that only having 400 folks involved, adults, involved in group, is not a sign of a healthy church. I believe we need to get healthier. And we need to follow the example of the New Testament, of Jesus' recipe of how to grow deep, how to grow strong, how to grow outward. And it needs to happen. You know, what if our goal, Nick and I talked about this, a goal is for us immediately to go to 800. 800 people involved in a group, a Sunday school, a small group, a Bible study. Now, is 800 enough? No, we need to have 100% of you who attend on the weekend involved past worship so that you can experience and discover the fullness of God and what he wants to do for you. So why does growing together matter? Let me give you these points. Why does growing together matter? It helps you to grow deeper. Helps you to grow deeper. I don't know about you, but I need to grow deeper. You know, this plant is great, and somebody put a little stake in it so it could withstand four worship services and me dropping it and et cetera. But if I set this plant outside and I watered it every day, the first burst of wind, the first hard rain, it would just kind of fall over. It would be a disaster. And my concern is unless we are willing to grow deeper, that when the storms of life come, and they will come, and when the problems come, you need to have your roots deeper so that you can experience the fullness of what God wants to do. Now, about 3,000 new believers. You know, Pastor Brian talked about 41 in a new member class. Exciting. What if we had a 3,000 new member class? Wouldn't it be amazing? How will we handle that? Well, we better have a structure in place to get people connected with other people so that they can begin to grow deeper in their faith. You know, I really think that's very, very important here at Mount Horeb, that we grow deeper, that these early believers learned about Jesus. They learned about the apostles. They learned about the Old Testament. They learned about the things of Jesus. I love this prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed with the early Christians, new Christians, brand new Christians in Ephesus. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Where? In your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I was talking to Harper Grace, our 3.5-year-old granddaughter, and I was explaining to her yesterday that Jesus was living in her heart. She had a real hard time grasping that. So she was looking and stuff, and you know, and she didn't understand the concept. She's 3.5. My concern is that all of you understand what it means to have the fullness of God in your heart, to grow deeper with him. And I pray that I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together. Say that word together. Power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Now, I'm convinced that not all of us here today understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. We need to go deeper and discover that. To know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I believe that happens when we get together and learn together about the fullness of God's love. How wide is the love of God? How wide is it? It reaches the whole world. How long is the love of God? It covers the entire length of your life. From the time you were conceived to the time that you leave this earth and enter into eternity. How high is God's love? To the height of your celebration. Beyond any celebration you can experience. How deep is the love of God? To the very depths of your discouragement, your despair, your defeat, and even death. We need to experience that. I want us to grow deeper as a people. You know, I don't want us as a church to be a mile wide and an inch deep. Can I get a second to that? We don't need to be a mile wide. It's great that we've got 41 new families that joined, new people that joined our church over the last couple weeks. And we've had many, many hundreds of people join our church over the last several years. It's been amazing. We're building new facilities. But if all we do is grow wide, When the storms of life come and the challenges come, and they'll come, we need to be deep. And we're living in a world that's getting harder and more difficult, more confusing. We need to grow deep in the love of God. I want to challenge you as a church to say, I want to grow together. Nick said it this way, we need to push one another forward. Anybody here need some pushing? Anybody get kind of laxed and I just need a little push? I need people that are pushing me, encouraging me to grow deeper in my love for God. Secondly, I need to grow stronger, grow stronger. They devoted themselves to fellowship so they could grow stronger. They shared things in common, their meals together, but their unity together. You know, to grow stronger, we got to be together. You know, some people don't like large churches. I've gotten that through the years. Well, you know, how big should Mount Horeb be? You know, when Jesus launched a church, he launched a church of about 3,120 people that grew quickly to 5,000 people. That's how he could lean on. So I think that there's certainly a wonderful place for small churches and little churches, and that's great and wonderful. And this church was a little church for hundreds of years, a couple hundred years, or about 100 years. Now it's a large church, about 100 years, right? Sorry. Now it's a large church, and I believe that God wants to work in all churches, whether they're large or small. But Jesus' plan was pretty large. And it's grown to reach millions and millions and millions. And when we get into heaven, you know, let me just say this. If you like a small church, which is okay, you know, I love small churches. I go preaching them from time to time. But when you get to heaven, it's going to be pretty big, right? You know that, right? There's going to be a lot of believers up there, right? It's going to be a big gathering. It's not going to be a little flock. It's going to be a large flock of people when we get to heaven. That's a great thing. We celebrate that. So grow stronger by getting together. This early church, they maintained their vitality and growth and healthiness by meeting together from house to house, where they shared in the things of God. Now again, when I go to our small group, we have some great meals. Man, some amazing meals. But if all we do is get together and have a meal and we don't talk about the things of God, We've not really done what God wants us to do. You got to talk about the things of God. You don't just get together to fellowship and have fun together. You got to get serious about why you're there together. You get there to encourage each other, hold each other accountable, tell each other the truth. Because we need to be mature enough so that we're not easily influenced or distracted. I love this word from Paul again to new Christians in Ephesians. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Now, these two young boys who we baptized, one who were kickers, you know, they were all over the place, you know. And they're very fragile still, and they're a bit immature, and it's okay if they start crying, and that's a good thing. But the Bible says that you don't need to always stay like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Aren't there some new teachings out there right now? People teaching all kinds of things about the Bible. Challenging beliefs about the Bible. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. You know, go back to that one in just a minute. There's a lot of that going on in our world today. With lies so clever they sound like the truth. You know, that sounds good. We live in this politically correct world and we want to make everybody happy. And so this new truth sounds really good. But when we grow deeper and grow stronger, we start realizing that maybe that is not the truth. Maybe that's, we're being childish and immature. So go to the next slide. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. You know, it is painful to tell some people the truth in love. I met with some people this week, and I spoke the truth to them in love. They didn't like what I had to say. They didn't agree with what I had to say. And they may leave the church over that, but I spoke the truth to them in love. And I encouraged them, and we got to do that. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other part grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That is God's plan for us as a church. And Nick said it's lifting up one another. Anybody here need to be lifted up from time to time? Just need to be lifted up, need to be encouraged? Need an attaboy? Anybody need an attaboy from time to time? And a couple years ago, we were getting ready to launch into Above and Beyond. And I was just feeling a great burden about that and wondering whether we should do this building, this big, enormous financial project as a church. And I was wrestling. And I got small group members around here. Martha, some folks over here, Tom and Jean, others in our small group, Jason back there, different people in our small group. And I was carrying a burden, right? And I don't know if you all remember this. I came together on a Wednesday night, and you guys saw it on my face. You heard it in my words. And you said to me, you need to sit down in the middle here, and we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to pray for you. And when they did that, I got stronger. And they said these simple words to me. You remember what you said to me, small group? You said, he's got this. Not Jeff, you've got this. I didn't need to hear that. But he's got this. And I got stronger. See, I needed to be lifted up. I need to be pushed. I need to be encouraged. And then finally, I'll say we grow outward. We grow outward. As groups in the church, we need to grow outward. The church grew outward. A deep sense of awe came over them all. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, possessions, and shared their money with those in need. These new believers met the needs of hurting people. They shared their faith with new people that didn't know Christ. You know, we need to be always growing outward. I never want us to have a church that is marked by groups that are closed. No Sunday school class should ever be closed. No small group should ever be closed. We should always be looking outward to meet the needs of others. You know, I believe if you have a great small group or a great class in this church or a great Bible study, you should be driven to invite other people to it. If it gets too big, we'll talk about that in a minute, all right? But growing together. You know, this church is blessed by generosity and people willing to go outward and do things. Lynn's class, my wife is in a small group with us. She's also in a Sunday school class, so she's one of those double dippers. You know, some of you do that. That's okay to double dip. You go to Sunday school and you go to small group. But I asked her, I said, what's your Sunday school class doing right now? Well, we just raised money for Licks to help provide for the food pantry there. But we also helped a family. We're giving money to help this family, this needy family out. Every group in our church needs to be doing that. I want you to do that. If you're in a group, you need to be doing that. Identifying ways to reach outside of this building out there in the world. Right now, we have Wade and Janet McGuinn in Haiti. They're in a very dangerous place working with an orphanage over there. They're in the middle of a legal battle with some Haitian folks over there. They're in danger as I speak this morning. You need to pray for them. But they're going out there. This week, Bev Cease and Susie Schwab leave for Turkey. They're going to Turkey. And, you know, would I want my wife to go to Turkey right now? Probably not. But they're willing to go into a dangerous part of the world to share the gospel. You know, we got folks that are doing that every day at work. In the workplace, they're sharing the gospel. They're reaching outward. That's what a healthy church does. A church focused outward will always be a growing and healthy church. You know, Nick said it this way in our Bible study. We need to send one another out. We need to send one another out. Is your group, is your class, is your Bible study sending anybody out? And if all we're doing is feeding ourselves, we're missing God's formula for a healthy, growing church. You know, I remember one of the first small groups I experienced when I was in college. I shared a couple weeks ago how Lynn and I met in Myrtle Beach. And 2 years later, we formed a group of seven in a group that sang and traveled around the country. And we were in Myrtle Beach for the summer. And there were seven of us in the group, four women and three guys. And so what we did was we prayed about it. And each of us took a day and fasted and prayed. So what it meant for the whole summer, we had a continuous fast and we prayed the whole summer. So when one person would come off the fast at 12 midnight, we would all, this is crazy, we're in college, right? We would all then go out to dinner somewhere together as a group at 12 o'clock as the person was coming off the fast and celebrate with them as somebody else couldn't eat because they were starting to fast, right? We did that all summer long and we saw God do amazing things in people's lives that summer because we were focused outward. We weren't thinking about what was best for our seven people, but what's best for the Myrtle Beach community, and how can we make an impact there? So if we do those things, the final thing I'll say to you is we'll grow exponentially. We will grow exponentially. Now, what is the purpose of this tomato plant? What's the purpose of this tomato plant? Grow tomatoes, right? To grow me some tomatoes. Now, it's not going to grow tomatoes unless it gets out of this box and gets planted and grows deeper. And if it grows a lot of tomatoes and I share those, that would be good, right? Give you some tomatoes, right? Give you some tomatoes would be good. But is that really the purpose of this tomato plant? I don't think so. The purpose of this tomato plant is to grow more tomato plants. Because if this tomato plant just grew tomatoes, and that was it, wouldn't take long to not have any more tomatoes on the planet, right? The purpose of this tomato plant is to grow more tomato plants. And you saw that farm that Chris Raw has, where it grows hundreds and hundreds and thousands of tomatoes because they're planting more and more plants. So what is the ultimate purpose of your group in this church? The ultimate purpose of the group in your church is to start a new group. Wouldn't it not be? If it's just to take care of yourself, pretty soon the church is going to die. What's the purpose of this church is to reach out and make new believers. So this morning, what's next? What's your next step? I think your next step, you need to ask yourself a question. Maybe there's people here today who you're a pot of soil and you're empty. Nothing's going on in your life. Nothing's growing in your life. And you know that. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. And you need to invite by a seed of faith, invite Christ into your life. You need to start allowing him to grow in your life, produce something in your life. You do that by confessing your sins to him, by inviting him into your life. I get to do that every week with people where they confess their sins, they ask God to forgive them, they invite Jesus into their heart, and then they begin to grow as a person. But some of you have been sitting in this church, and I would just challenge you to prayerfully consider, will you find a group to get involved in? Will you find a Bible study? Will you find a small group? Will you find a Sunday school class and say, I will grow together with other people? Some of you are in a small group, in a Sunday school class, in a Bible study, and you need to say, I will invite somebody else to come. I'm going to invite somebody else to come. And some of us are in small groups and Bible studies and small groups. You need to say, I need to go launch a new one. I need to go start a new one. We need to multiply. That's exponential growth. What's your next step? Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I thank you that you've grown this church in amazing ways. But Lord God, we know that unless we grow deeper with you and grow stronger with you, we're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Every clever teaching will appear to be the truth to us, and we'll get swept away. God, may we grow deeper and stronger and grow outward. Help us never just to focus on what we want and what we need, but what those who don't know you need, those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who are hungry, help us to be looking out there and to see that our purpose is to reproduce your kingdom. Thank you that that's happening in many places in this church. And we thank you now for what you're doing. I pray for that person right now who feels empty inside, who feels there's nothing going on in their life. And that right now in a step of faith, in a seed of a mustard seed that of faith, they will invite you, a little tiny seed of faith, and say, Jesus Christ, forgive me. Jesus Christ, will you come into my heart and come into my life and begin to grow in me so that I can discover your love and your purpose and your plan. And Lord, help all of us to want to do your will. Help all of us to say, I will, to you today. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen.